Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. So we started off our show yesterday looking at Seth Walder's FPI, the Football Power Index, at least right now where we stand on June 4th in the NFL postseason. So we were kind of discussing where the Titans fall, how the numbers aren't very favorable for the Tennessee Titans. So who better to help us break down exactly what those numbers mean than Seth Walder himself. Seth Walder, ESPN, joins us now. Appreciate your time today, Seth, and really appreciate you for joining us. In reading your article, you mentioned how, you know, quarterback and backup quarterback are a factor in FPI. The ESPN bet over-under win totals, how special teams are a factor. But just to kind of give us a little bit of context, exactly what is the FPI, what goes into it, and what you have seen, how accurate of a projection model is it really?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me. So the FPI in the preseason is very market-based. So we're looking at the win totals, like you mentioned, and factoring in the schedule as well, right? Like if you take two teams that are 8.5 win teams, they're not necessarily equivalently talented because we got to factor in, well, who they're going to play because the betting market knows that as well. So we do that. And we've got a few other factors, like you mentioned, quarterback, backup quarterback, that are go into it. And basically what we're trying to do is determine what's our best estimate as to how good each team is, rate them, rank them from 1 to 32, and then simulate the season using that. How accurate it is? I would say it's a pretty accurate model, but relative to models or relative to just predictions in general. Like, we're under no illusions here. This list is going to look wildly different come, you know, I don't know, November 1st or something like that, because we learned so much. There's a lot of uncertainty baked in, but that doesn't mean that should stop us from making predictions at this point, because we can say, I feel pretty confident the Chiefs are better than, like, the Giants at this point, right? So why would we not try, even though we know some things will get mixed up for sure.
I'm sure the Jets FPI this time last year was much more favorable than what it was after week one, after Aaron Rodgers got injured. Looking at where the Titans stand at 27th in the FPI, how much does that have to say about Will Levis, in your opinion?
I think it has a lot to do with Will Levis. So obviously, the young player, and I think that you build in the uncertainty and the fact that there could be significant growth. We've certainly seen that from players. He hasn't played a full season, just 9 starts under his belt. But he had a 33 QBR. That would have been basically in the Bryce Young zone, right? He only had 9 games, like I mentioned. But that's just not where you got to be if you want to expect strong performance. It doesn't mean that he can't turn around quickly. I mean, Jared Goff, you know, just signed a huge deal this offseason. And I remember after his rookie season, he also played a partial season, and it was miserable. I mean, awful that year. And so you can certainly turn it around after your rookie season. But I do think that Levis is a big part of the reason why the Titans are holding back, because they've obviously added players in other spots this year that I think help the roster overall. But you can only do so much depending on what you get from the quarterback.
We'll talk with Seth Walder, ESPN, discussing his article that he put out on ESPN, ranking the teams. From a analytical standpoint, so you should check it out. It's a really good read. Now, Seth, looking at this team, and we've discussed, and especially today with the Titans, if you're just talking 22, then I think this team can compete and can win more games than what many predict. But then as you start to get deeper, that's where the problem lies. Do you take that into account when you put together this assessment of the Titans, not just their starting 11 and their quarterbacks, obviously, but the depth of this team?
I would say implicitly, yes, because the betting market is factoring in, you know, everything and everything, anything and everything. Explicitly, no. Like, we're not factoring in anything literally like who your backup linebackers are. I do kind of agree with you in the sense that, like, if you look at this roster and we say, okay, what does this team look like if Will Levis takes a big step and he becomes a league average, like the 16th best quarterback? Well, now you're looking at it, it's like, hey, you got Hopkins and Ridley on both sides. I think the offensive line is good enough. You can look at the corners and say, hey, that could be a good tandem. I like guys like Arden Key, I think, is underrated. So, like, I think you can easily imagine a world where this team is a lot better than people realize, but a lot's going to fall on Levis's shoulders.
Now, when you, going back to your article, let's just say last year. I don't know if you did the article, a similar article to mm-hmm. this one last year, but if you did, where would you have ranked the Houston Texans? Because, or even the Jacksonville Jaguars, to that fact, because those were two teams that, you know, were still, we didn't know too much about. Their roster looked okay, but we didn't know exactly what the quarterbacks would be. And then obviously fast forward, we know the quarterback is damn good in Houston. You know, so we can justify or we can look at why their record was that way. But did you do an article about this last year? And if so, where did you have a Houston ranked?
I'm so glad you asked. I almost mentioned this right at the top when we mm-hmm. talked about how predicting these things. Houston, in this article last time, we had Houston at number 32, which just goes to show you how little we all know about football. We had Houston at 32. By the time the season started, so we have this rating that gets updated over the course of the off season and then every day during the season. By the time the season started, Houston had moved all the way up to 30th. So not that much better. But, yeah, Houston. And who was the other one you wanted to know?
Jacksonville. Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, we had 12th. Yeah, we had 12th Jacksonville. So I don't feel like, you know, I mean, I really collapsed down the end, didn't make the playoffs. I don't even feel like that was like – that feels like that's the right range for them. It just ended up being a shade high.
Seth Walders with us, ESPN Analytics. We're talking about the assessment that ESPN has made, the power index that has the Titans right now at 27th at this point in the offseason. Seth, something that we've talked to you about in the past that I'm curious to get your take. It's related to where you have them in the overall scheme, but the transition from Derrick Henry to Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard as a tandem. One thing you noted is in the last couple years, Derrick Henry went from being the dominant force to a little bit less efficient, still getting yards, but you started noting some of the things that analytics would point out that are weaknesses. So what do you think the aggregate could be of the tandem they're going to go with this year as opposed to what they've been getting from Henry the last couple years?
Yeah, it is exactly what you said, which is that we've seen this sort of decline from Henry over the last few years, which is to be expected because honestly, he's lasted longer than I would have guessed if you'd asked me, say, 5 years ago, because that's just the nature of the running back position. I think that they will probably get less out of this group, but not by a lot. But I think the place where it will show up, one of the reasons why I have felt like Henry has been a valuable player for even in this time when he's been declining, is that we can see differences in the way that opponents have reacted when he's on the field. And so I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but like if we look at like for like circumstances, so if we look at the same personnel groupings for the Titans with and without Derrick Henry, we can see that opponents put more defenders in the box when Henry's on the field versus when it's not. And so that means just that it makes life easier for the quarterback. When you throw into those situations where you've got that stacked box, but you're running play action, that helps Levis. And I think you're just going to lose a little bit of that. I don't think it's going to be a dramatic shift just because he's been declining, but a little bit. I think that the place it will show up will be actually, strangely enough, in the passing game.
What do you think Pollard has left at this point in his career?
Yeah, to me, there is a chance here because he is a guy that, like you mentioned, the metrics, like the advanced metrics, right? And the one that we often use for running backs is something called rush yards over expectation, which is basically saying at the time of handoff, where are all 22 players on the field? Where are they moving? What's their speed? Which direction are they going? And then it makes an estimate as to how far the running back will make it. And then we see which running backs are able to over or underperform that estimate. So last year, Pollard obviously had a disaster season, and it didn't work out for him, and that's why he wasn't as expensive as you might have guessed a year ago, because 2 years ago, he was very efficient. I'm trying to pull the number up right now. 2 years ago, he generated 226 rush yards over expectation. So that was the third most among all running backs that season. And he was hurt last year. And so I do wonder, there is a world where it was just the injury. You know, he was held back by injury more than maybe we realize, and he gets right back to that efficient play. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it has to do with a little bit needing to split the work a little bit more, but maybe that's a thing he can do with Spears. I think there's a world where that happens. At the same time, I would just say, in general, a golden rule is like, once a running back has a bad year, bet against them forever. And it sounds harsh, but like, it's the reality of the position.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Okay, so let's go to one other key guy that I think you can shed light on analytically. Everything we've looked at with Calvin Ridley, he's getting pretty good dollars. He's going to have high expectations for the Titans, especially with a young quarterback. His efficiency looks kind of okay in some areas, but one thing that jumped out to us, there was a lot of unsuccessful passes his way, a lot of incompletions. It was with a different team. So what do you see as the profile for Ridley expectation-wise?
I think he's another interesting one. Ridley, we have this metric called open score, which basically quantifies a receiver's ability to get open on every route, whether or not they are targeted. And this is not going to be some magic thing to say he was amazing. He had a 59 open score on a scale of 0 to 99, which was, let's see, let me just put it wide receivers only, which made, you know, put him at 41st among wideouts. It's not great, right? But it's not terrible. But I think there was a rust factor. Smarter X's and O's people than me have indicated that, like, the Jaguars weren't using him that efficiently. I would say I'm lightly betting on Calvin Ridley this year. I think that he's probably a little underrated at this point, because there were, and it is a long time ago, but, like, there were parts of his career, and I'm thinking specifically about his year in 2020. Like, that same metric, he had a 90 open score that year. That's the year he had over 1,300 yards in Atlanta. And so he is getting a little bit up there in age, but we know that skill is in there. So I think it is possible that we see that unlocked again.
What do you see? We're looking at the number. You know, when you see Colts at 20, negative 0.4, Titans 27, negative 2.9. What does that gap look like and equate to in that number in your mind?
So it's pretty easy to think about. So if the Colts played the Titans on a neutral field, we would favor the Colts by about 2.5 points. There can be some factors that push that a tiny bit one way or another, but by and large, you can think of that as like a betting spread. So Colts Titans neutral field, Colts will be 2.5 point favorites.
Not massive, but something. Mm-hmm. So my question about the Indianapolis Colts, Anthony Richardson, another young quarterback, same draft class as Will Levis, struggled with injury last year. I don't think any of us saw as much of Anthony Richardson as we have liked to have seen. So what do you think was the big difference between the Colts and the Titans, and albeit a 2.5 point difference, so to speak, for lack of a better word, but still a difference nonetheless?
I think that's it, right? Like, even in the small sample that we saw of Richardson, I think we all probably saw a higher level of play than we saw from Levis, and definitely higher upside. So, like, whether Richardson pans out or not, I don't know, but we probably are more bullish on him outside of his health today than we were on draft day. And I think you can see the possibility that he could be their franchise guy. I'm not saying Levis can't, but the probability, I think, that Richardson works out quite a bit higher than it is for Levis. So, yeah, there's arguments for – I think it really does come down to that. Both teams have some nice players, but, like, outside of quarterback. But to me, that is, like, a pure – like, a very easy difference to make at QB.
Seth Walder, ESPN Analytics. Seth, really appreciate your time. Really enjoyed reading this article and appreciate kind of the analytical breakdown. So we'll love to catch up with you soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate it. Seth Walder of ESPN Analytics. Let's react to that, what he had to say. maybe change our mind a little bit, maybe even more questions that we might have about the FPI. We'll also get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.